By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. My dear viewers, let's, subhanAllah, begin this day by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. وصلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَحَاطَ بِالنَّاسِ
اور جب ہم نے تم سے فرمایا کہ سب لوگ تمہارے رب کے قابو میں ہیں
وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّجَرَةَ الْمَلْعُونَةَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ
اور ہم نے نہ کیا وہ دکھاوا جو تمہیں دکھایا تھا مگر لوگوں کی آزمائش کو اور وہ پیڑ جس پر قرآن میں لعنت ہے
وَنُخَوِّفُهُمْ فَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا طُغْيَانًا كَبِيرًا
اور ہم انہیں ڈراتے ہیں تو انہیں نہیں بڑھتی مگر بڑی سرکشی
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ قَالَ أَأَسْجُدُ لِمَنْ خَلَقْتَ طِينًا
اور یاد کرو جب ہم نے فرشتوں کو حکم دیا کہ آدم کو سجدہ کرو تو ان سب نے سجدہ کیا سوا ابلیس کے بولا کیا میں اسے سجدہ کروں جسے تو نے مٹی سے بنایا
قال ارايتك هذا الذي كرمت علي لئن اخرتني الى يوم القيامه لاحتنكن ذريته الا قليلا
بولا دیکھ تو جو یہ تو نے مجھ سے معزز رکھا اگر تو نے مجھے قیامت تک مہلت دی تو ضرور میں اس کی اولاد کو پیس ڈالوں یعنی برباد کر ڈالوں گا مگر تھوڑا
قال اذهب فمن تبعك منهم فإن جهنم جزاؤكم جزاء موفورا
فرمایا دور ہو تو ان میں جو تیری پیروی کرے گا تو بے شک تم سب کا بدلہ جہنم ہے بھرپور سزا
واستفزز من استطعت منهم بصوتك واجلب عليهم بخيلك ورجلك وشاركهم في الاموال والاولاد وعدهم
اور ڈگا دے یعنی بہکا دے ان میں سے جس پر قدرت پائے اپنی آواز سے اور ان پر لام باندھ لا یعنی فوجی لشکر چڑھا لا اپنے سواروں اور اپنے پیادوں کا اور ان کا ساجی ہو مالوں اور بچوں میں اور انہیں وعدہ دے
وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا
اور شیطان انہیں وعدہ نہیں دیتا مگر فریب سے
اِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانُ
بے شک جو میرے بندے ہیں اور ان پر تیرا کچھ قابو نہیں
وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا
اور تیرا رب کافی ہے کام بنانے کو.
ربکم الذی یسجی لکم الفلک فی البحر لتبتغوا من فضلہ.
تمہارا رب وہ ہے کہ تمہارے لیے دریا میں کشتی روا کرتا ہے کہ تم اس کا فضل تلاش کرو.
انہ کان بکم رحیما.
بے شک وہ تم پر مہربان ہے.
وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَن تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ.
اور جب تمہیں دریا میں مصیبت پہنچتی ہے تو اس کے سوا جنہیں پوجتے ہو سب گم ہو جاتے ہیں، پھر جب وہ تمہیں خشکی کی طرف نجات دیتا ہے تم منہ پھیر لیتے ہو.
وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا.
اور آدمی بڑا ناشکرہ ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. دی ویوز آف بندن چینل ماشاء اللہ عز و جل، یو آر واچنگ Rise and shine. Let's move to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final, without any exceptions, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم.
آقا 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 آقا، اذن جس کو ملا وہ مدینے گیا، میرا کچھ نہ بنا میں یہیں رہ گیا، وہ بلاتے رہے سب ہی جاتے رہے، ایک میرے سوا میں یہیں رہ گیا. اپنی آنکھوں کو ملوں. عرض کرنا کہ کہاں مجھ سا کمینہ گندا اور وہ شہر کہاں جس میں ہوں محبوب خدا. ہاں سنا ہے کہ نبھاتے صدا سوا اور میں کیا عرض کروں آپ کا وہ کہ جیوں آپ کا ہو کر ہی مروں آپ کے در سے پلا آپ کے در پر ملی تم پر ہی نچھاور کر دوں
اپنی آنکھوں کو ملوں آپ کی چوکھٹ سے نظیر ہے تمنا یہ خدا سے کے رسول
نگی سالک کو حضور بدنی تو حاضر ہے مگر مثلے اویسے کرنی جس میں ہندی ہے میرا جان ہے میری کسی طرح ہو برد بدنی
اپنی آنکھوں کو آپ کی چوکھٹ سے نظیر ہے تمنا یہ خدا سے کے رسول
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of the channel, let's inshallah come to today's topic. Now, today's topic is very, very important. Today we shall be speaking about the upbringing of our children. The upbringing of our children. What are we doing for the upbringing of our children? What are we doing? Generally, we'll send them to school. This is one thing we will do. At the age of, this is within the UK, at the age of 3 years or so, they'll go to nursery, sometimes even younger, possibly past two. And they'll spend about a year, 1.5 years in nursery. And then they will go to reception. So this is generally what they do. And then they'll be like in year one or so. And when they are, so this is how it works in the UK, by the way. It's the nursery, and then it's the reception we have, And then it's year 1, 2, up until 6 is primary school. And then 7 to 11 is high school. There are some people who first kindergarten, that's like the equivalent of our nursery, you can say. But some will send their children to school around about the age of 5 or so. Others I've heard in some places in Europe, their children first go to school later, at the age of about 7 or 8 years of age, as it may be, whatever it may be. The point, why is it I'm saying this? Because this is something we are doing, or parents do for their children. What is this? Sending them to school. And in many countries, it's necessary, isn't it? It's mandatory for people to seek education, for example, in this country. They don't have to go to school, but they have to seek education, and possibly by means of a tutor, which nowadays is becoming more and more famous, that is. But then, when they get round about the age of 5 or 6, some parents will send them to the masjid. This is what they will do. When they get round about to the age of 5 or 6, they will send them to the masjid. And the masjid, or the local masjid, or the local madrasa, that is, they will teach. And they generally have it from Mondays to Fridays. And I remember in our days, it used to be about 2 hours. Not that we used to learn a lot in 2 hours, but that's a separate thing. But it used to be about 2 hours, then it was reduced now to about 1 hour. And now many places only have about 40, 45 minutes. This is their class, that's it. About 45 minutes or so. Now, this is Mondays to Fridays. Especially nowadays, it's been shortened. It's not 5 days a week. It's 4 days a week. Well, rarely even 4 days a week. It's 3 days a week or even 2 days. Yes, this is what's happened. It's gradually being shortened, the number of days that they are going to the madrasa. It's only an hour they're going to. Remember, they're going to school. They're spending 5 or so, they have 5 or 6 periods other than the break. So they're spending about 4 or 5 hours studying. And then there's lots of playing, there's lunch break, they have 2 breaks, don't they? So there's all of that time they're sending them to school, and they're sending them still 5 days a week. When it comes to masjid, there's only, 45 minutes or so, let's just say an hour. It's an hour. But even then, they don't send them every day. They'll send them 3 days or 2 days. What's the reason? Oh, yeah, because after school activities. We want our children to be involved. We want our children to be active, etc. After school activities. And, they'll go to this place. They need to go swimming. They need to do this. They need to do that. Okay, they need to do swimming. It's brilliant. It's good in its own ways, as long as it's in accordance or within the boundaries of Islam. Very good. But you are giving your children a message. By doing this, you are sending them a message. And what is this message? That going to the masjid is not important. This is the message you are getting across. That going to the masjid is not important. Why? Because, for your school after session class, you'll miss masjid because you have this on this day. What does that mean? That means that your going to the madrasa is not as important as you're going to swimming lessons, I'm using for an example, or after school session. It means that, then because you go after school session, we'll leave master today. Another event comes, we wish to go somewhere. We wish to go somewhere. Right. So school, you can't miss school. You can't miss school. But right, what we'll do, we'll go after school and we'll just take a day off from your master today. Take a day off from madrasa. Again, what are you teaching them? That it's, school's very, very important, but then madrasa is not. And this is a huge problem. This is one of the first problems. The first problem is when we're placing them in education. Because we place them in Islamic education at the age of 5 or 6. Whereas when it comes to, and then they leave around about the age of 10. Around about the age of 10 or 11. This is the majority I'm speaking about. This is when they are leaving. So how much are they going to attain? Now think about it. They are spending up until around about the age of 18. They're in education. They're spending all of this time in education. And how much do they learn when they come out? Really, how much are they learning? And it's said, this is what one of the world's richest men possibly, in terms of worldly wealth, that is. This is something that he says. He says that this, and I'm not really attacking the educational system, but it's true, it's outdated. It is outdated. Many people would disagree. There have been many books written on this, and alhamdulillah, I've been able to read quite a few. It is outdated. This was made for, how many years ago? and it's become outdated. What's happening? So many people are going to school. They're spending years at school. Remember, it takes about 100 hours or so to get a good understanding of a science. About 100 or so hours. Whereas our youngsters are spending thousands of hours in school. They are spending thousands of hours in education. 18 years of their life. The most important 18 years of their life is being spent in school. About 15 years if you minus the first three. Is being spent in what schools and then universities too. Universities is included within this. So there's so much time being spent there. But then when they graduate, let's just say, if it's from university, or when they complete school, sadly, many a time they're not able to spell simple words. Their English language, their rhetoric, their ability to speak, they're not able to articulate what it is they are trying to say properly. They are not able to, they do not have knowledge of, or you know, they're not professionals. After spending all that time, why is it that you need to, you know, spend separate time to become a professional in a field? So there's so much time which is really being wasted, or it's not, and this is not for everybody. Yes, there's some that they go and they learn so much. But that's a minority. And this is, to be honest, this is going towards the school side, but the point being, is we need to give our children the best. We need to give them the best upbringing. And we need to lay the foundations and teach them what is given importance of other things. What is given importance of other things. And one of the most important thing is what? The most important thing is our iman, our religion, our deen, our Islam. How much are we teaching them? We teach them, we send them to the masjid, they learn the Quran. If they finish the Quran, reading it all, that's it, they can leave masjid now. And many leave before they've even finished. Okay, they've read the Quran, brilliant. But what about the rest of the teachings? Should they not learn about our deen? Many people, they complain, oh, this is what a Muslim did. This person, he calls himself a Muslim. This is what he did. And this is what, this is what these Muslims are doing. These are the actions they're doing. Now, if they've not been taught their religion, they've not been taught, they've not learned this is right, this is wrong, this is what we should be doing, this is what we shouldn't be doing. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. No, they've just read the Quran without understanding none of the Quran, they've left. How can such people be good Muslims? Where are they going to learn about the deen from? It is our job to teach them. But it's not just sending them to the madrasa too. We can't expect them to go to the madrasa and to become awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially nowadays, madrasas. Because it's only about one day, 1 hour a day in 24 hours. That the rest, you know, they're either in school or they're with their parents. And parents complain that, you know, why is my child not good? They go and complain to the teacher. How much can they do when they've got 10 children, 20 children to deal with within 1 hour? No, their job is just to teach them. Teach them what? The Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. Teach them possibly basic fiqh, etc. How much can they do in that 1 hour? So we must play a bigger role. What is this role? This is where, you know, things, this is the most important part. What is this role and when does it begin? When does this role begin? This is what's very, very important. Because it's stated that the first, al-ummu madrasa, that the mother is an institute. The mother is the first madrasa. The mother is the first institute. And if you're a mother, inshallah, let's move to the daily reminder. And then inshallah, we shall hear about when this time for education begins and how it should begin. This is very, very important. Let's move to the daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The companion of the Prophet Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, undoubtedly amongst you the most beloved and closest to me on the day of judgment will be those who are the most well-mannered among you. And amongst you, the most dislike and the farthest from me on the day of judgment will be those who are ill-mannered, who talk too much, are rude and those who speak excessively with gaping mouths. Sayyidina Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has commented on this hadith and explained this. Because a well-mannered person often performs good deeds more, sins are rarely committed by him. Honesty, meaning faithfulness, being trustworthy, trustfulness, fulfilling promises and having correct dealings are all included in good manners. And ill-mannered people often are sinners. Bad manners themselves are evil and a means of many evil actions. Lying, misappropriating, breach of promise and deceptions are all dealings and branches of bad manners. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, safeguard yourself and others from being ill-mannered, for being ill-mannered will keep us away from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. And being well-mannered, being truthful, being nice, doing good deeds will keep us close to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And viewers of Madani Channel, mashallah azza wa jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Now, we were saying the upbringing of children. When should it begin? When should it begin? And how should it begin? Two very, very important questions. As for when, it begins from the beginning. That the mother is an institute. This is written by a poet. That the mother is an institute. When a baby girl, when a child, when she is given a good upbringing, then you are giving an upbringing to an entire nation. Why? Because this is the importance of the mother. This is what will happen with the mother. And we hear of people like Hazrat Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, the role his mother played. People like Hazrat Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, due to their mothers, what they have become. Their mothers played this huge role in their lives. And that's why it says, Al-Ummu Madrasa, the mother, she is the first madrasa. The mother is the first madrasa. And when does they begin? Well, it begins from the beginning. As soon as the child is born, begin by reading the adhan. First is the rites, the etiquettes, etc. But then what happens, my dear viewers, is the child is not able to speak. And many times the child is not able to understand what you are saying. But the emotions the child can feel. When a person is shouting and they are angry, the child can see this, hear this, the loud voices and feel this emotion. When a person is in tears and they are crying, the child can feel this emotion. When a person is happy, the child also senses this emotion. This is something they are able to do from the very beginning. So parents, how are parents between each other? How is it that they converse? How is it that they speak to each other? These sort of things the child picks on from a very, very young age. Are they always shouting? Is there always lots of shouting going on in the house? Is there possibly beating? Is there domestic violence? Now, these sort of things have an impact on the child from a very, very young age. The actions they do, always taking, giving with the right hand, for example, always sitting and eating, reading salah. There was Hazrat Sahal ibn Abdullah At-Tustari rahimahullah ta'ala, famous incident of his. It stated, he himself states, he says, I was three years of age. And I would wake up, you know, nearly every single night. And he states that I would wake up every night. He was brought up by his uncle. And then I would see my uncle praying salah. So they would see the others performing actions. The children see the parents. The children see the elder, what they are doing. We say to our children, go, you've not read your namaz. This is some that do this. Some are just not bothered whatsoever. One namaz passes another, they don't even mention salah then throughout the house. And there'll be some who, okay, they'll possibly try to tell the children, oh, go read salah. But they themselves are watching TV and the children could see that they themselves are not praying their salah. That everybody's sitting here, but it's just the youngsters. What is that teaching them? That's teaching them that, okay, because you're young, you have to do whatever we say. Right now you need to go do salah. And they consider it to be a burden. They do not enjoy it.
Right now, okay, they have to go do salah. They'll hurry up, do a few sajdas, and then they'll return. What is that teaching them? That right now we have to pray salah, but when we grow, when we become big, then we don't have to pray. Then we don't have to perform salah. This is what it's teaching them. This is what you're teaching them. No, how is it? How should it be done? Is salah time TV switched off? Television switched off? Game console, whatever it is, switched off? We all go. There's sometimes some people get to have a separate room. Other people, whatever it may be. They take out the musalla, the, as they would some call it, janamas or whatever you may call it, the prayer mat. And they all read together, and then the children enjoy reading too. And this happens regularly, so the children know regularly that that's it, it's salah time, I'm going to read salah. The children themselves come and read, and then they enjoy it. This is what we should be teaching our children. And subhanAllah, this person who became this great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Sahal Tusri rahimahullahu ta'ala. It is that my uncle, every night he would stand during the night. He would be performing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day came, when my uncle, he said to me, he said that, oh Sahal, this is a three-year-old child. How much does a three-year-old child know? His uncle, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Sawar, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says to his nephew at the age of three, that, do you not remember? Do you not do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you not try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He who created you, do you not do the dhikr of the one who created you? SubhanAllah, this is really, really beautiful. My dear viewers, inshallah, let's move to the daily hadith sharif, and then inshallah we shall continue. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Contributing towards the construction of the house of Allah, the masjid, or to ornament and beautify and embellish the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to benefit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, is a great act worthy of reward. And if we look at our pious predecessors, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, they did such acts, subhanallah. In one narration, we're told that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala passed by the masajid in the month of Ramadan Kareem. This narration is in Kanzul Ummal. And he saw that oil lamps were lit in those masajid. And obviously this benefits the believers, this benefits the participants, the attendees of the masjid. So when he saw this and he looked at this, he made the following dua. May Allah Almighty illuminate the grave of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, just as he illuminated the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So partake in constructing masajid, beautifying masajid, embellishing masajid, benefiting the believers who come to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah your grave will also be illuminated. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, we were stating that Hazrat Sahal al-Tustari rahmallahu ta'ala, he would wake up in the middle of the night, he would see his very own uncle would be praying salah, and this he would see regularly, that his uncle was praying salah, his uncle was praying salah in the middle of the night, when generally people are sleeping. This child, he sees this. And then one day the uncle says to the child, أَلَا تَذْكُرُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقُكُ. Do you perform the O Sahal? Do you not perform the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created you? He who created you. And this is beautiful, honestly. This advice is brilliant. Why? Because many times when we order our children, especially when it comes to Islam, for example, other things, you'll say, for example, you'll say to your child, brush your teeth. But what, you will always give reasons, wouldn't you? You'd always say, brush your teeth. Why? Because your teeth are going to be dirty. Or your teeth are going to turn yellow. They're going to rot. Eat your food, eat your veg, because then you're going to become strong. Then you're going to have big muscles. These are the sort of things that people say, isn't it? Now, my dear viewers of Madani channel, they give reasons. And we are living in a world where we need reasons. Youngsters, we are living in a world where there has to be a reason. Mom, why? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go here? So you could learn this and you could learn that, etc., etc. But whenever it comes to worship or going to the madrasa, these sort of things, one thing I've seen myself too, is many times that the parent will say, you have to do it. They'll say, why do you have to do it? And then they'll say, you just have to do it. This is all they will say. You just have to do it. I don't know. You just have to do it. First thing, why don't you know? As a parent, you should know. Whatever you are instructing your child to do, what is the reason you are instructing them to do such? Why? Because then the child asks why, and if you cannot give a reason why, then right now they will do it, tomorrow they will stop doing it. Look how Hazrat Muhammad bin Sawar rahimahullahu ta'ala, how is it that he asked this nephew of his? He says to him, do you not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And what's the reason he gives? The one who created you. Allah ta'ala created you, made you. He created you. Of course you should remember him. So now this child has no doubt as to why he should. He's the one that created me. This is why I should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This child now has no, you know, question about why does it, or you know, you just have to do it. Allah ta'ala created you. There is a reason. That's a good enough reason. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what happened? He also gives him some advice. He says, you know, each and every single day, first three times, without moving your tongue, do it in such a manner. But what should you do? What advice is it that he gives? He says, you should say three things. He should say, Allahu ma'i, Allah is with me. Allahu nadhirun ilayya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allahu shahidi, Allah is my witness. And then this child, something easy, isn't it? Just saying three things. And only saying it three times. How difficult is that? Not difficult at all. So first you give them an easy task. Don't say you have to do this now, and then you have to, let's say suddenly now you have to do this, now. And the kids are really tired, and the kids are really bored, and the kids are really put off. No. When you teach your children, first you teach them, first you show them. This is first. First you show them. You do it yourself, and then they watch you. This is step number one. As parents, for the upbringing of our children, this is step number one. That we act upon the deen ourselves. This is step number one. And then the second is instructing them, but giving them a reason too. So that they understand and they wish to do it. And they think, yes, they understand why they should do it. And they wish to actually do it. This is step number two. And step number three, that you give them something which is not, you know, overburdening them right from the beginning. No. So that they come into it comfortably. This is step number three. This is step number three. And this is what we see from Hazrat Muhammad ibn Sawar, rahimahullah ta'ala. He gave him something easy. What happened? Only three. And then after a few days, he says, I've read this, or uncle. And then his uncle, rahimahullah ta'ala, he then increases this. First, he used to recite this three times. Okay. Now recite it seven times. And then that's it. He used to go recite it seven times. This is it. Very small. Very small things. Very small addition. And then he said that after some time has passed, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Sawar, he said to him, that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him, and he is his shahid, he is his witness, then how can such a person disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is he teaching him there? Another step, another very, very fundamental part is what? Refraining from sins. This is one of the most important things, isn't it? Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your witness, then how can you ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He didn't do that straight away though. It took one whole year. One whole year, then he said this to him. Because first he had to truly understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. When he's going to regularly recite this every single day, Allah ma'i, Allah ta'ala is with me. Allahu nadhirun ilayya, Allah is watching me. Because he understood this too in the Arabic language. Allahu nadhirun ilayya, Allah is watching me. Allahu shahidi, he is my witness. And this wasn't just one day. This was the next day, a third day, Allah is with me. Allah is watching me. He is my witness. A fourth day, Allah is with me. He is watching me. He is my witness. A week, 2 weeks. And if this is something that a person is going to say every single day, what effect would that have upon them? And then he says, now you know that Allah Ta'ala is with you. Now you know that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is watching you. This is a year later, after having repeated it many times. Now you know that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is your witness. Then for somebody who Allah Ta'ala is watching, He is with them, He is His witness, how can they disobey Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? What is He teaching him? Allah is with you, you already know this. How can he disobey Allah? Do not disobey Allah. So before anything you do, you will think, Allah is with me, Allah is watching me, Allah is my witness, how can I lie? Allah is watching me, how could I do this action? How could I miss my salah? How could I perform this action? Allah always, at the same time, it's a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He always has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his mind. Always the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why he became who he became. He became amongst the greatest of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, this is a beautiful lesson for us and our upbringing of our children. That step number one is for you to show them how to act. For you yourself to read your salah. Then they will watch you reading your salah. For you yourself to abandon sins. And then they will watch you doing this or not doing things. And there's something brilliant which I learned. Now, subhanAllah, something which was becoming quite famous was what? That, okay, swearing, they're going to be exposed to anyway. That's what some people say. That children, they're going to be, nowadays, people, everyone swears, don't they? They're going to be going to school. You know, kids are going to be doing all sorts. And they're going to be exposed to this anyway. They're going to be given exposure to this. People are going to be swearing or whatever it may be. What's the harm if they're hearing it from us? Because sometimes they say, oh, don't swear. You know, there's children here. And they think, oh, what's the harm? What does it matter? They know that, you know, people will always swear. So they're going to make the choice whether they wish to swear or not to swear. That's up to them. No, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. When it comes from us ourselves and when it comes from outside, there is a big difference. Because when they hear it outside, they know that we've heard it too. But we've decided not to use such language. Not to use such language is our choice. So they will understand that they are part of us and they need to also abandon such things. It greatly influences our children. My dear viewers of the channel, we are coming towards the end of our program. Let's take a look at which department we have for today. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Jamiatul Madina.
اس وقت جامعۃ المدینہ کی تعداد 1500 سے زائد ہو چکی ہے اور صرف دینی تعلیم نہیں بلکہ اس کے ساتھ ساتھ دنیاوی تعلیم کا سلسلہ بھی اس میں ہوتا ہے اور کنز المدارس بورڈ بننے کے بعد الحمدللہ جامعۃ المدینہ سے فارغ ہونے والے جو طلباء ہیں ان کو ڈبل ایم اے کی ڈگری بھی پیش کی جاتی ہے کمپیوٹر کورسز بھی کرائے جاتے ہیں ان 1500 کے قریب جامعۃ المدینہ میں تقریباً 131,000 کے قریب اسٹوڈنٹ پڑھ رہے ہیں اور سبحان اللہ اب تک 34,000 سے زیادہ بچوں اور بچیوں نے درس نظامی کمپلیٹ کر لیا ہے
بائی دا گریس آف اللہ بائی دا گریس آف اللہ
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم My dear viewers of the channel, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Now, that was an introduction to the education or the educational institutions of Dawat-e-Islami, MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. Dawat-e-Islami is providing education, especially today we're speaking about education, with your help. With your help, my dear viewers of the channel, inshallah, we hope we can do much more. Please, and this is one of the reasons we say, please donate towards Dawat Islami. That Islam is not just taking money, that Islam is showing, yes, what we are doing. There is so much. Look, these are people who are neglected. I'm referring to those people who may have disabilities. those with disabilities, especially when it comes to Islamic education, they are completely neglected. They are completely neglected, my dear viewers. People who are blind, people who are not able to hear, people who are not able to speak. Such people are completely neglected. But alhamdulillah, even them, Islam is reaching out to such people and helping them, giving them an education. People think, oh, it doesn't matter. There's no point in giving them an education. No. Dawat Islam has given those people an education too. How beautiful is that? Let's go to the fund promo. Sallu alal Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we wholeheartedly believe in the words of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alihi wa alihi wa sallam. He said that charity does not decrease one's wealth. And the understanding of this is important. When we spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are many blessings that we attain. Blessings in terms of what we spend for the hereafter, it's invested in the hereafter, and we are given its reward with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we die. We are also protected from many calamities that we don't see and many afflictions which may have affected us before we gave that charity. Those afflictions, those calamities are warded off. Dawat-e-Islami is working across the globe through its many departments to support the community of the faithful. Our work is not just for the children, not just for the youth. We are trying to cater for all Muslims, all people from all walks of life. We are trying our best to improve the work in these departments, and this is only possible through your generosity, through your donations, through your support. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for every good intention and every single penny or pound or dollar that you give to support your Dawat-e-Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase success for all of you in both worlds through this act of generosity, through spending in His way to support the work of Islam. May Allah accept our good intention.
Dawat-e-Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 436345 60. IBAN GB67LOYD 309773436345 60. BIC LOYD GB21087.
Your donations can be utilized in any permissible, religious, reformative, welfare, spiritual, benevolent, charitable, and income-generating lawful and secure work so that the increasing expenses can be met.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if it was, those are the details, please do give. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give in abundance, really give in abundance to Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, and donate wholeheartedly, inshallah Azza wa Jal, to Dawat-e-Islami, because this is the future. This is the future. We all understand education is the most important thing. Educational institutions are the most important. These are the backbone for any society. These are the backbone for any society, and we need more of these institutions. So, my dear viewers, it is your job to, inshallah, take part. It's your job too, remember. The spreading of information, the dissemination of Islamic information is not just my job, it's everybody's job. Every Muslim has to play their part. And some people are actively and verbally, you know, vocally enacting and carrying this out. And others who may have the financial means, they must take part what financially and financially support and give towards the deen, towards the religion or religious institutions, that is. And I would advise you again to give towards Dawat-e-Islami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. That's all for today. That's all for now. Continue to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.